Hey friends, I want to begin this podcast letting you know that I have spent the last couple weeks making so many notes on my phone about this episode that I wanted to make on female sexuality and using our brains. And when I went to go record this episode, as I was reading through my notes, I could not understand what I was saying. You know how if you use the audio voice to text thing on your phone, sometimes the way it dictates and translates what you're saying just doesn't make any sense. And I've tried to decipher it and all the things, and I'm just like, this is not working. So that's why it's taking me a while to get to compile this together. And today I'm just gonna kind of wing it with my what is in my head and on my weighing on my heart and things that I want to say. And I'm gonna refer to some of my notes, but for the most part, in order to get this out there, I'm just gonna just put it out there with what's in my heart and mind. So yeah, this might be a lot of times I have an outline for my episodes, but this today I don't. So I hope you enjoy it, and yeah, I hope that it's useful for you.
This is Jamie Andelin, and you're listening to my podcast, Your Turned On Desire. I used to have very little desire for sex. This became an issue in my marriage. It was the only thing we were arguing about. So I learned how to stop avoiding sex, and I learned how to look forward to it and enjoy it instead. And this improved my marriage and my personal life more than I could even imagine it would. So then I helped hundreds of women in my coaching business ditch the low desire struggle. And now I'm sharing the secrets here. Welcome.
If you're new here, I would suggest that you go back a couple episodes, maybe starting with episode 59, and that's underdeveloped female sexuality, because that will help you have a better foundation for where we're going with this episode today. And you can also listen to episode 60, so that episode 61 will make more sense and be more useful for you. Even if you're not here, if you haven't listened to episode 59, I highly suggest you go back and listen to episode 59 and episode 60 before you listen to this episode. That will make this episode all the much better. Is that a phrase? We all the much? Whatever. This is what's going to happen when we're winging it today. So like a lot of women who struggle in their sexual relationships with their husbands, I had always let my husband kind of lead the way in a sense and let him define sex and what he thought was good and what he thought wasn't good. And then I was just trying to go along with his definitions. Like he was leading the way. He was saying like, this is a good amount of sex that couples should be having. This is how much sex I want to have. This is the kind of sex that is good and right and wholesome and ultimate, you know, the ultimate place we should all be going in our sex lives. And so I was trying to fit into that box, like of everything he defined. And it was kind of exhausting because as you probably know, when we're trying to live up to other people's ideals and expectations of us, it can be really draining and exhausting. And not that we don't want to include other people's desires and wants and needs and thoughts and beliefs in our sex lives, but we do need to make room for our own ideas, beliefs, desires, wants in our sex lives. And then we learn how to make room for the two of us, right? There's like room for me and room for my husband, room for my ideas and ideals, and room for his as well. And so this is kind of what the struggle should be, is how to make room for both of us. The struggle shouldn't be how to live up to somebody else's ideals. And that right there, I could just end this episode right there, right? We're going to have a struggle. We're going to have conflict. And the conflict should be not contention and fighting because I don't live up to whatever your ideas and expectations are. The conflict should be, am I understanding myself sexually? Do I know my desires? Am I confronting myself? Am I letting the sexual part of myself develop? Am I acknowledging and seeing my husband's expectations and desires? And am I making room for both of these? And from the husband's point of view, am I expecting my wife to live up to my sexual ideas of what a good sex life should be? Or am I opening up to a different way as well and making room for her ideas and who she is as a sexual being as well? What are her expectations? What makes her feel safe to open up sexually? What makes her hold back? What pushes the brakes on her sexuality? Instead of asking her to change and live up to my ideals, am I letting go of some of those expectations and saying, like, okay, I see you for who you are. Thank you for sharing who you are with me, and let's make room for the both of us. When a lot of women decide to start confronting their sexuality and allowing this repressed part of them to develop, we start noticing some of these root causes of why our sexuality is struggling, like why we're struggling with pleasure, why we're struggling with desire. You know, we might have these really low libidos, and so we kind of start discovering these root causes. And my sexuality, one of the root causes of my libido being low was I thought my sexuality existed for my husband. Okay, so that was a root cause of a lot of my issues that I was experiencing. And this came from all over the place, like in the world and also in religion. I had so much repressed because I had absorbed these ideas that the sexual part of me didn't exist for me to benefit me, but it was either harmful to me, harmful to others, or existed to kind of, in a way, bless only my husband. And so those were some root causes. I'm not saying everyone has this root cause, but this is a common root cause that a lot of women have. And so when women start deciding, you know what, I'm going to develop my sexuality. I'm not going to repress it anymore. I'm going to let it mature and grow and integrate it into my life and make this a part of who I am. And they're not afraid of that anymore. They start seeing the root cause, and that is one of them. Like, very common and very normal to kind of uproot this idea that our sexuality only exists for someone else to be blessed in their life. So this is false, this is wrong, and this idea can actually be really harmful in the bedroom, in our marriages, in our sex lives. So one of the things that came from this root cause was I didn't allow myself to read anything that would create arousal inside of me, right? I can't experience aroused feelings or pleasurable feelings or like those sexual feelings because they're not for me, right? It's like allowing yourself, it would be like not allowing yourself to get hungry because your hunger isn't for you. It's only for others. Like if you thought like I could only eat when other people are around and it will only benefit those people that are around me. And so it might be noon and I'm hungry and oh no, I have to push that down. I have to hide that because that's not okay to just eat lunch alone. You know, that's why it feels so confusing sometimes because our sexuality is just a natural part of us. There's nothing good or bad. It's just there, just like our hunger. It's like hunger actually is kind of good. It lets you know, my body needs some nutrients. So sexual arousal is like, ooh, there's blood flow in your pelvic floor. This is good. Cool. We need the blood flow there. It's actually really healthy. It's bringing oxygen to all the parts of your body, even this part down here. You know, so it's just like kind of there. It's like part of being a human being. But when I would feel that arousal, I would be like, it would make me anxious. And so anything that would like purposely bring blood flow down to that area of my body felt like a hard no. Like, oh, no, that's not okay. So, but this was all coming from the belief that my sexuality didn't exist for me, but it was for someone else. I had to like save it and hold on to it and wait and like only like hope for this like magical arousal that would somehow happen every night at 9:30 when the kids went to bed, you know, and I wasn't allowed to like create arousal inside myself. So I didn't invite anything into the bedroom or into my life that would create some kind of arousal. In fact, if I noticed it did, I would shut it down immediately. And I couldn't even look at books with like how to's, you know, I thought that was wrong and considered both of these things like erotica or how to things. Like I consider them pornography, which I thought was very terrible. And I could kind of sort of get on board with maybe drawings of people showing positions, you know, like sexual positions. But even then, my anxiety around everything would grow. So then I would just shut it down, shove it away, and feel guilty that I even looked at drawings. So yeah, this, you know, that's this. These are the behaviors, right, that are stemming from that root cause that my sexuality existed for another person. Like it wasn't even mine. It wasn't a natural part of me. So if you notice some of your anxiety coming up around, you know, erotica or around arousal or around books or positions or, you know, things like that, or bringing things from the outside into your bedroom. Like I thought it was wrong to include anyone else in my sex life too, because, you know, if my sexuality existed to please my husband and we were bringing books of other people telling us how to do the sex, you know, then I thought this was all wrong to include them. I had this anxiousness that would arise inside of me. All that. If my husband brought home like a book and he thought, hey, I think this book will help us, I would immediately be like, no, we can't. That's wrong to invite those other people into the bedroom. Or if there was like a sexy scene in a movie, I would absolutely not. We can't invite those other people into our bedroom, you know. And I know a lot of people relate with this because I've talked to so many people and this is an issue. Again, the root cause. Your sexuality does not exist for you, but it exists for someone else. And it exists to please your spouse. And that is it. And then sexuality just becomes very not pleasant for you and also not your spouse. So isn't it kind of weird that that idea actually harms both of you? Because if it was true that your sexuality existed for another person, then whenever they wanted sex, you would be happy to do it, right? Oh, because this is why my sexuality exists, to please my husband. So he wants sex, I'm happy to do it because it pleases him. And that's why my sexuality exists. And there would be no issue. But because there's an issue, when, let's just say, husband wants sex, wife does not, wife starts to feel resentful of the obligation to please her husband. All of this is telling us that the resentment and the obligation are there because it is not true. Our sexuality does not exist to please another. Our sexuality exists for us to use for good or bad, for us to receive pleasure and to do good things and to add goodness into our lives if we choose to use it for that. Some people don't even care about sexuality and want it repressed. Some people want the blessings and the benefits of using our sexuality for good, to bless other people and to bless our lives and for ourselves, you know. So it's an interesting concept, but I just wanted to point out that if it were true that your sexuality actually did exist for another person, then you would be totally fine doing sexual things, you know, in the definition of what husband wanted to do for them, and be at total peace with that because you would be completing your purpose, you know, of why your sexuality existed. But most people listening to this podcast hate the idea of obligation sex, don't find that thinking that their sexuality exists for another person helpful. And so they're struggling. They don't know what to do. They feel a lot of obligation. They feel a lot of low desire. They feel resentment and confusion and uncertainty and have some anxieties come up around the sexual everything. And so getting to the bottom of that root cause is really important and will help you as you continue to confront and deal with and mature and develop the sexual part of yourself. So skipping along here, along the journey, kind of like fast forwarding, once dealt with that idea that your sexuality exists for you and not solely to please someone else, you can start really learning about who you are sexually. Like, what's your sexual personality? What are your sexual preferences? What are your sexual expectations? And by the way, all of this can change and evolve, but you got to have a starting point. Like, who am I today? How do I see my sexual personality? What do I enjoy? What do I not enjoy? What do I need to happen for me to feel turned on? What do I need to happen so that I am completely open to enjoying a sexual experience with my spouse? The other question might be, when you start confronting this root cause of, you know, a lot of the low libido, low desire, and avoidant of sexual anything, is like, who am I as a sexual person, and can I be okay with who I am as a starting point and stop poo-pooing on myself and who I am sexually? A lot of women kind of poo-poo on themselves because they don't add up to what males want through sexuality. You know, what's sexual through the male lens, they don't add up to that. They don't match that or align with that. And so they think, well, gosh, something's wrong with me, right? I'm broken, or I'm not enough, I'm not satisfactory, whatever. I'm just mediocre, you know, but not ideal. And so when you start confronting this in yourself and start separating sexuality through a male lens, sexuality through a female lens, or more specifically, that is sex through my specific husband's lens, and this is sex through my specific female lens, you can start to just really accept who you are. And from this place of acceptance is where you can start to add things in or evolve yourself or experiment or try things. And that's where your sexuality starts to grow and develop in that place. But you first have to accept that you are who you are right now for certain reasons. I like this. I don't like this. I am this way. My desire grows in these ways. My desire is shut down in these ways. And that is just who I am and is beautiful and wonderful and good and a part of me. That's where you have to begin. And so you confront this root cause of your sexuality existing for yourself, and then you can start accepting who you are in this moment. Is it going to disappoint your spouse? Maybe, probably, in a lot of ways, yes. When you decide, like, certain things about yourself and accept them and say, this is who I am sexually, this is what turns me on, and this doesn't turn me on, your spouse may be disappointed with what you discover, you know, because it doesn't add up to their expectations, or it's not, like, looking through their lens and what they want may be completely different than what you're discovering about yourself and coming to a place of peace with about yourself and kind of revealing and exposing this. Like, there may be things that you've been doing sexually that never turned you on, that you never enjoyed, and now you're going to expose this to your spouse when you feel comfortable to do it, and he may be very disappointed, right? That, I don't know, something like intercourse doesn't really feel that good to you, and you've never actually had an orgasm through intercourse. He may be very disappointed. So once you confront a root cause, and then you start to accept who you are, and then you start to expose that. So it's root cause, accept, expose, reveal. Then you have to be able to handle the disappointment of other people. And you have to build up that muscle of being able to have the capacity and be resilient to another person's disappointment. And this disappointment may be sadness. It may be disappointed in you. It may be disappointed in themselves for not seeing this, for not noticing it. It may be disappointment in so many things. And these are uncomfortable feelings. This is all uncomfortable to deal with, which is why confronting your sexuality and making your sex life better can be a really hard, difficult, challenging process, because you're confronting all these things. Right? So pause for a minute. Let's take note. Expose the root cause. Accept who you are right now, through your own female lens what you like and what you don't like. And then you're going to expose or reveal who you are, your true self, to your partner. Who I am as a sexual being today, right now. And then you're going to like hold space for them being disappointed, right? So this is like that, ooh, to hold that capacity. Like, I'm not going to like start giving in to them because they're disappointed. I'm not going to all of a sudden just go along with what they want and live up to their ideals, because that was creating resentment. That was shutting down my desire. So now I have to start letting them be disappointed and not changing myself to manage their feelings, to calm them down so that they won't feel disappointed with me or with them or whatever. This is hard. Okay. This takes another level of maturity in yourself and your relationship to be able to do that. But this is these steps that I just laid out for you. This is what's going to lead to you being able to the next part of this episode, use your brain in being able to bring this intellectual part of your sexuality into the relationship. So a lot of women have to use their brains to, in order to have a good sexual experience, there needs to be some intellectual aspects that they bring into their sexuality for them to be able to enjoy a pleasurable, good sexual experience for themselves. So why intellectual and using the brain? Our brain is our biggest sex organ. The way we can use our brains as women to make our sexual experiences better is just simply pretty awesome. It's just fun information to know about. Being able to use your mind to make your sexual experience better does require you to understand what turns you on and why. For example, you may feel turned on by watching Mr. Darcy from Pride and Prejudice walk through the field on his way to rescue Elizabeth from his mean auntie. But why does this turn you on to see him, his trench coat flowing in the wind and the music playing in the background? And I understand this about myself now. I feel turned on because it's more about the dynamic between Elizabeth and Darcy. This dynamic is one where he was willing to forego his money and his status to be with her. She was so desirable that he risked his place in society to be with her. That is pretty desirable for someone to do back then. Like, what a turn on, right? To be so desired that that other person is willing to forego his status and whatever he needed to do to be with you. So now I know something that turns me on. I like to feel chosen above all things. So now I can share this with my husband, that when he chooses to forego other responsibilities to spend time with me and blocks everything else out to be with me, this turns me on. This creates a dynamic where I am more likely to have the accelerator pushed on my desire and therefore create the environment where I will be aroused so much easier, where you even want to be aroused, right? I'm like, okay, yeah, touch me here, touch me there. I'm willing for this to happen because I've created this environment with the dynamic that turns me on. Another example where I can pull on this is on Sunday mornings. Now, my husband knows when my husband has church meetings, but instead chooses to make out in bed with me and then take his time with me in the shower, even telling me, babe, you have all the time in the world. I have nowhere else to be. And then takes his time and even texts the people he's having a meeting with to let them know that he isn't coming to the meeting. Instead, he's going to be with me. That is a turn on. Because in that moment, I feel very chosen by him. So this dynamic, I was able to reveal and expose this to my husband about myself. I might say something along the lines is, this is why I like this dynamic. This is why I like this role. this is why I like you in this particular role. It's a turn on for me. Maybe you feel turned on, like me, by the character Thor. Not necessarily because of his body, but because he did a very similar thing with Jane that Darcy did towards Elizabeth. He was willing to risk his place in society for Jane. She was not an Asgardian. She was from Earth, and she wasn't royal. But she was so desirable that he chose her over the royals back home. So bringing in intellectual aspects into our sexuality makes our sex lives as females so much more desirable. If you're using your brain to figure out dynamics that turn you on and why, then you can also use your brain to figure out what turns you off and why. One way this works for figuring out what turns us off is to look at the dynamics of different sexual acts and why this might be a turnoff for you. I have many female clients that are turned off by their husbands asking for blowjobs. When they think about the dynamic and bringing in their intelligence with them into this situation, they start to learn about themselves. One reason females tend to be turned off by this dynamic is because it can fall under a caretaking role, especially if the husband is asking or something, like, take care of me in this way. If her days are filled with caretaking and homemaking and she is not turned on by her husband asking for a sexual act like a blowjob, then this tells us a lot about what dynamics turn her on and off. As a female, you can look at this for yourself and reveal to your husband these truths. You, like, expose them to him. And you might say something like, because I'm caretaking and homemaking all day, this dynamic of taking care of you in the bedroom doesn't turn me on. The role I need in the bedroom, or a role that I would enjoy, is being taken care of. I like you in the dynamic of listening to what I want and taking care of me. No dismissing what I ask for as not sexual, but purely just listening to what sounds nice to me and doing it. Or, because I'm not turned on by caretaking, and I would like to be more turned on by sexual acts that serve you, we need to change some things in our daily lives together that will relieve me of the many caretaking roles and acts that I do every day, so that caretaking in the bedroom can have a more turning me on environment. Another way we can use our brains and add in some intellectual dynamics to better our sex lives as females is to use our imagination to picture scenarios that turn you on to more erotic feelings. For example, if you have spent some time getting to know yourself, then you may discover that you're turned on by something that may seem like more rebellious. Maybe the forbidden turns you on. Think back on your dating experience, and maybe there is a forbidden aspect around being sexual before marriage for you. And then when you got married, sex was no longer forbidden, but probably expected. So maybe the dynamic of sex being expected turns you off, and sex being forbidden turns you on. Now, when you're making out, you can imagine scenarios in your mind where you're not allowed to go any further than kissing, for example. Let this become real to you in your imagination, where you're kissing this man whom you're not allowed to go any further with, and let this feeling envelop you. Notice how you use your brain to turn yourself on. This is called fantasy. You're using your mind to fantasize about dynamics that turn you on and not letting your mind wander to dynamics that turn you off. It's like having boundaries with your own brain. Maybe you're a little different and you were sexual when you were dating, and you just knew that every weekend you would go out and after your date you would have sex. Now you know that this kind of expectation turns you on. So, like, planning in dates and sex may be a turn on for you, like the anticipation of knowing it's coming and what's going to happen. Maybe the turn on for you. Knowing yourself, understanding yourself, and applying these intellectual aspects to your sexuality can increase your desire, your erotic feelings, your arousal, and make your sexual encounters more enjoyable. And of course, if you're having more pleasurable feelings and experiences, and more, you're allowing yourself to be more erotic and to have more arousal, and your desire is increasing, then of course you're going to want good, enjoyable sex more often. Female sexuality usually requires a lot more intellectual aspects than we think it's going to require. There's also this dynamic that many females crave, and it's connecting with their partners in an intellectual level. If the day in and day out interactions are very surface level, they release no sort of dopamine for you, don't require you or your partner to invest in deeper conversations or more thought-provoking conversations, then the chances of being turned on are going to be low. In these relationships, the female's desire can be very low because of the lack of stimulation that the relationship has for her. And it can be exhausting for a woman who is trying to add more stimulation into her relationship if the other person isn't engaging in more stimulating ways. There's so many conversations I have with women where they're like, I hate that my husband just comes home and is on his phone, and it takes so much work for me to get him to like want to be with me or to talk to me that I'm just exhausted. I've been caretaking all day, and then my husband comes home and I have to almost like try to convince him to have a conversation with me. And it's not intellectually stimulating. So sharing news with each other, having conversations about what's going on in the world and discussing beliefs, ideas, conflicts, this can be very stimulating and therefore connects her to her partner in more intellectual ways. And if she is the one that is pursuing this intellectual connection and he isn't, this is going to be exhausting for her and a turnoff, because the dynamic needs to be they're both pursuing this intellectual connection equally for her to really feel chosen and desired. I have a client who was divorced, and as she was working with me, she started dating again, and she met someone whom she was willing to talk to me about, and she was talking to me about him daily. She enjoyed their conversation so much that she said to me, it feels like he's making love to my brain, and I really like this. So in a sense, they were making love intellectually before they ever had sex physically, which then made the physical connection so much stronger. In fact, one day, I got a message from her after they had been dating for a while that said, I just had 5 full body orgasms. 5. I need to talk to you about this ASAP. When women feel connected on a deeper level and not just the day in and day out surface level stuff, we start doing this husband and wife thing where we start making ourselves roommates. We get in this like roommate mode and we engage with each other like we are just roommates running a business or something, and it's not intellectually stimulating. When we can get out of this mode and engage with each other like we are good friends who seek after intelligent interactions with one another, the sexual attraction develops. We don't have to get divorced and start dating someone else in order to have that. I'm not saying that that's what you need to do, but we can begin with our own partners and engage in deeper ways today. Now, you can use your imagination to go to a place where you imagine what it would be like just meeting your spouse today. How would I engage with them? How would I want to show up? What conversations would I want to have? What would I be curious about? What would I want to share with them? What kind of conversations do I want to have? Our brains are powerful, and we can use them to make our experiences with our spouses and our sex lives more enjoyable. Many of us have lost the use of our imaginations because we simply just grew up, but we can bring it back. And many of us repressed our sexualities, and therefore our creativity and our imaginations have been repressed as well, because they're all connected. sexuality is in the realm of art, creativity, imagination. And so if we're repressing that sexuality, we're also going to be repressing the creative part of us. We're going to be repressing our imaginations and our ability to really think about and be creative and know ourselves better. So it's all work to bring this self back and kind of develop that part of ourselves. It's an investment to choose to invest more in the intellectual aspects of sexuality. But as they say, many times the things worth having are the things that actually take more work to enjoy the rewards of, or something like that. If you would like to better understand yourself sexually, then I encourage you to get to the root of what causes, like, what are the root causes of what's turning you off, what turns you on, and what's making you have anxiety, like more anxiety than joy in your sexuality. So remember the steps I shared at the beginning of this, like the first part of this podcast episode, where you want to just get to the root causes. What are these beliefs? What are these underlying causes that are making me have anxiety and making me repress my sexuality, making me less interested in sex, causing me to not even think about it most days? Get to the root causes of those things. Come to a place of awareness and then acceptance with yourself, with the way you are, looking at your sexuality through your own female lens and saying, oh, okay, isn't that interesting? Like, yeah, I don't fit into the box of what through my husband's lens of sexuality, or maybe even a patriarchal lens of sexuality, or anybody's lens of what sexuality should be. I am my own individual person. I'm going to see myself through my lens and start accepting these things about me and stop poo-pooing on myself. Like, I'm not going to tell myself I'm not good enough or interesting enough or I'm just mediocre. I'm just going to come to peace with who I am sexually, and this is my sexual personality. This is who I am. These are my sexual expectations. And I can bring these to the relationship. My husband can bring all his sexuality stuff to the relationship, and we make room for the two of us, as opposed to room for one and one of us has to try to be like the other one. We're not doing that. We're bringing these two different sexual expectations and ideas and beliefs and preferences and personalities to the relationship, and we're making room for the both of us. This is like the most beautiful thing you can do for your sexuality, because you're not going to try to put yourself into the box of a male lens or anybody else's ideas of what sex should be. You don't have something fully to share with someone if you're not knowing yourself and bringing that part of yourself to relationship. You have to bring your full self to the sexual relationship, or there isn't going to be anything to bring. You're just always going to be letting your partner lead the way, and you'll never be quite right. And that will always feel like the not enoughness or the brokenness is there. And then your spouse will always be thinking, we need to have more sex. Why isn't this working? She doesn't enjoy sex enough. What's, you know, come on, you need to find more pleasure. Let's think about positions. Here's a book. I want you to read it. And it's just all going to be very anxiety filled and very pressury if you're not doing the work yourself to understand yourself. So you find the root causes, you find acceptance with yourself, bring your full self to the relationship by exposing yourself, by sharing and revealing those parts of you, those dynamics that turn you on and that turn you off and why, and share those with your spouse. And then you're bringing this intellectual part, like you're really thinking about what is turning me on and what's turning me off. And you're sharing with your spouse, like, this is the dynamic. This is why I like this dynamic. This is why I like this role. This is why I like you in this role. This is why I like this position. This is why I like your hands here or not. And, you know, you're sharing those things with them, bringing your full self to the situation. You're understanding those dynamics and roles, and you're explaining them. You're revealing them to your spouse, not to protect him, right? Because another one of the steps is you're going to have to like let him manage his disappointment, because you're not going to be the same, or you're different, or maybe you've been doing things that he thought you liked, but now you really don't, and you're exposing that to him. And so you're going to have to handle and like grow your resilience to his uncomfortable feelings, your partner's uncomfortable feelings. And you're going to be learning about yourself. You're going to be using your intellect to understand why you like dynamics, what turns you on, what turns you off, and why. And you're going to be sharing that. And then you're also going to be using your brain to fantasize. You're going to know what turns you on, what dynamics do and don't, and you can use it while you're in a sexual experience to fantasize, to let your imagination go, to really allow yourself to be turned on. So in a sense, you're turning yourself on with your brain, with scenarios and imagination, like coming up with stories in your brain that make you feel that erotic feeling. And then you are just really getting to know yourself. You're understanding yourself. If you want to understand yourself better sexually, then I really encourage you to get to that root cause of what's turning you off and what's making you have more anxiety than joy in your sexuality. And if you want help and you want to have more fun doing this, then consider private coaching with me. You can email me or you can sign up for a consultation with the link that is in this podcast episode. Stay tuned for episode 62, where I'm having a fun conversation with some ladies who are currently enrolled in my online program. And that is going to be a very useful and beneficial part of my female sexuality series on this podcast, because we're going to hear from other ladies who have been working on developing their sexuality and seeing themselves through their own female lens instead of trying to be what others expect of them or letting others lead the way.
In the meantime, may I suggest that you listen to episode 59 called Underdeveloped Female Sexuality.